is pray about that, and we can be faithful to the Lord and faithful to our conscience and faithful to God's word. So this morning, we're going to be over in Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27. One of the greatest tragedies that I have seen, and you have seen, I'm sure, is the Christian family that seems to have disintegrated along with other families in our culture. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish the statistics between Christian families and worldly families as far as what goes on with the marriages, with the kids staying in church or not staying in church. And so we're going to look at a family this morning. I'm going to call it a godly family because Isaac is Abraham's son, and Abraham was a godly man. But here in this generation with Isaac and Rebekah, if you remember, Eleazar was Abraham's servant, and Abraham sent Eleazar to a different part of the world to secure a wife for Isaac. And as best as we can tell, Isaac was grateful for this. He seemed to have a heart at the beginning that was in tune to God's will, but later in his life, that stopped. And that's why I'm calling this a tragedy. Anytime we step away from God's plan for our life, anytime we're not completely and wholly dedicated to Him, committed to the Lord in our attitude, our feelings and our emotions, our plans, when we don't trust the Lord, when we have desires in our life that are opposite His will, anytime we do that, we risk separating ourselves from the Lord in our fellowship with Him. Now, that's awful easy to do in the society that we live in. The entertainment that's at our fingertips, the pleasures that are available for us all to take part in, desires and even conveniences that are so nice, and we love conveniences, they're so nice to have, but they have a tendency to soften our commitment to certain things, and one of those things is our relationship with the Lord. In essence, we've become a people that's often characterized by me first. Take care of me first and what God wants. He's going to get what's second. And that's the exact opposite of what is in God's Word about how we should act. Old Testament and New. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven to a man who found a treasure in a field. And once he found the treasure and saw how valuable it was, he covered it back up. He hid it. And then he went back home and he sold all of his possessions just to have the money to go buy the field. So what was on the field could be his. And then Jesus talks about the merchant who sought for goodly pearls. And he found that one great goodly pearl of great price. And he did the same thing. He sold all he had. He got rid of all of his possessions just to have the money to buy this pearl of great price. And so Jesus is liking the kingdom of heaven to an individual who would see that it's so valuable. They want to be a Christian so bad. They want to serve God so much that they would do anything, sell all that they had if need be, to be able to retain their position in the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So in our world of easy believism and easy Christendom, it's important for us to know that God wants us wholly committed to Him, wholly committed to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not always easy to do, but that's what He wants. The family this morning in Genesis 27 was Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, and Jacob. And Isaac and Rebekah, apparently, way back in chapter 25, they developed a rift between these two boys. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Now remember, Jacob was the one that God had told Rebekah that he would carry his name through the line of Jacob. He would bless the nation because of Jacob. And so there's a little rift developing in the marriage. You can read it. There's a disagreement there that's very apparent. So let's read in verse number 1, Genesis chapter 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. Now, before we continue, this is one of the first tragic things that I see with this chapter. The book of Genesis has 12 chapters about Abraham. His successes, his failures, his growing his faith in the Lord over time. That's Abraham. With Isaac, we know very little about Isaac and his life. There's scarcely, the Bible doesn't mention much about Isaac. And we see in this chapter, he does not walk by faith like his father did. He was not alert to the call of God. And so it's a tragedy that in and of, it's a glaring absence of anything eventful that the Bible records. And we know the Bible left out a lot of details. We don't know a lot about a lot of people. But that is a glaring absence of all the time spent on Abraham's spiritual life. And then here in Isaac, in verse 1, he's old. And his eyes are dim. He's 137 years old. He's got a reason for his eyes to be dim. And so he sets about planning for his life. And he brings his favorite son in to make his last will of covenant and his last blessing upon his family. By the way, after this point, he lives for another 43 years. But Isaac is an individual, and I'm taking a lot of time here in intro, but I think it's important. Isaac is an individual who is, in my opinion, when you read the scriptures, he's me first. At this point in his life, it's me first. And he says in verse number 2, and he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat. Now, just real quick, I'm old. I can't see, and I don't know when I'm going to die, Albert. Can you go out and can you take your bow and get me some venison that I want to eat? I love it, and bring it to me so I can enjoy it. There's a little bit too much meat going. The reason I'm saying that is in our Christian life, we have to watch that. Me. God, you know, God takes care of us and he loves us and he brings great blessings into our life. But let's get our eyes off of ourselves and onto him. And so he says in verse 4, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now, don't you think, bear with me here, don't you think that Isaac already knew, if Isaac and Rebekah are any kind of a married man and woman, husband and wife, if there's any kind of a marriage there, don't you think Rebekah has told Isaac what God has told her, that it was going to be blessing and promise through Jacob and not Esau? So here, Isaac takes the burden on himself to bring Esau in. I mean, by this time in the chapter, Esau's already displeased the Lord. He's gone off and married married into the families, the women and the families of the idols that's against the Lord, false idols. He's married in a way that God told him not to. So he's already stepping, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. We haven't gone through that, but that's what he's done. Rebekah was already told that great blessing would be coming to this family through Jacob, not Esau. So Isaac's the man. He's the leader. He's the father. He's the husband. And he sidesteps God's will and says, Hey, Esau, come here. I want to give you my last blessing. I'm going to give it to you. We got a problem here. He's more concerned with himself and his natural affection for Esau, and all that overrode his good logical sense that God knew what he was doing. So Isaac is not in a good place spiritually. He's not in a good place logically. Maybe when he was young, he was not this way. We don't know. But now he's not guided by a heart for God, but rather what he wants. I, me, and my, get me venison. And he continues in verse 5, And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, lest we get too much blame on Isaac, Rebekah's not in a good place either. God's already told her he's going to make it happen through Jacob. And here she goes to conniving, to scheming, to planning. If she just leave things alone, God's already told her it's going to happen. Let him make it happen. But she plots and she schemes to rush ahead of God and do her things her own way. And if she really trusted the Lord when she heard her husband talk to Esau, she should have gone to God with it and say, This scares me. You told me the blessing's going to come through Jacob. My husband's over here talking to Esau. And we see nothing in here but the fact that she starts scheming. Both mom and dad are doing their own thing. And we find later in Jacob's life, he starts doing the same thing in his life as well. Sometimes what mom and dad do flows right into the kids, doesn't it? Now that's scary. If it's one of these, what grave responsibilities we as parents have and grandparents to do the right thing for the benefit of our family. Verse 8 says, Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats. And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it unto thy father, that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Now, once again, Rachel knew that God intended his blessings to the younger son, but she eyes this whole thing and starts planning and scheming. But listen, Jacob's no better. He knew it too. He knew the promises of God, but he decided to listen to his mom. Now, we should listen to our mom, shouldn't we? We've been told that all of our life. But when mom's wishes lead us down a path that's against the Lord's wishes, that's when our conscience and our heart should dictate to us what we should do. And so in verse 11, he said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, or perhaps, will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. Jacob knew this was wrong. Jacob, that's why he said that, said what he did. Hey, dad's going to catch wind of this. He's going to be upset with me. Mama said, I got this, honey. I'll take care of your daddy. I got this. Sometimes when we make decisions and we know they're wrong, we allow our conscience to be soothed over. We got reasons. Well, you know, Lord, I know you said this, but, you didn't know this was going to pop up, did you? You don't know what's best for me. I mean, long term, God, you've got it handled, but this week I'm gonna put it in my pocket and I'm going to do it. I'm going to plan this thing out. Verse 15, Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skin of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Now back to the point that parents have a grave responsibility, a very serious responsibility. Here, Jacob objected to his mom's suggestion, but then she told him that she would take care of it, and now he's doing it, and here he's standing before his father and lying to him. Three times. Standing before his father, he says, Look, I'm Esau. No, you're not. You're Jacob. Look what I have done. No, your mother fixed this food, not you. And my venison. That's what Esau asked for. But there, here, he's prepared, his mother's prepared goat meat. Three lies in this one verse. Say, where are you going with that, Dwayne? Well, if you look at the tone and the tenor of God's word, you'll see that truth and honesty is paid very much attention to. It's at the top of the virtues, honesty. Just two chapters back, maybe three chapters back, Eleazar was searching for a wife for Isaac. And this is a statement that he made when he met Rebekah at the well, the same woman, by the way. He met her at the well, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master, of his mercy and his truth." Rebekah knows what truth is. I'm sure Isaac knew what truth is. But here, they very deceptively skirt around. They tell the little white lies. And if you read God's word, you see that honesty and truth is very, very important. Paul says in Hebrews 13, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things to live honestly." You say, "Well, a little white lie never hurt anybody, Dwayne." Well, you know, here their little white lies are going, and one leads to another, and another, and another. So here Isaac is before his father, and he's lying to him. And Isaac said unto his son in verse 20, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Well, he brought that answer up quick, didn't he? Well, God provided it. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. And he said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And Jacob, "You're such a hypocrite. You're such a liar." See, Isaac knew something was up here. But see, he's a man he's used to giving in to his senses. He's a man that's used to letting his physical desires guide him. And so he dismisses his own conscience. He dismisses his own judgment and his good sense. "Oh, wait a minute, that don't sound like Jacob, that sounds like Esau. Well, let me feel him." He starts feeling him. And in verse 23, "He discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, 'Art thou my very son Esau?' And he said, 'I am.'" Another lie. "And he said, 'Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee.' And he brought it near to him. And he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, 'Come near me, or come near now, and kiss me, my son.' And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, 'See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed.'" Isn't it funny how we just bring God into our conversations when it's convenient? "Oh, well, God's provided this. The Lord has blessed me here." In verse 28, "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine." So he's blessed his son. And he says, he continues in verse 29, "Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee." Now, by the way, this blessing was not actually realized to Jacob, but it was realized to his descendants, to his family. For a long, long time, Esau's family, his descendants served the children of Israel until they rose up in revolt and no longer served them. So the blessing came true, but at a later point in life. And verse 30 says, "And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting." And it came to pass. You know, when we get into a cycle of lies and deceit, little white lies that we tell, or just maybe they're not lies, they're just half-truths. We don't say all the truth. I like the way this verse opens up, and it came to pass. Don't you know it always comes to pass? It always comes around. I know an individual who lies so much, he can't keep his lies straight. And you just keep on listening and listen. When we don't submit our hearts and our minds to God, we think we can get away with anything. But the truth of the matter is, I can fool you, I can fool my wife some of the time, but I cannot fool God any of the time. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And Jacob, you're sowing something here that you're going to be sorry of. And verse 31 says, talking about Esau, "He also made savory meat and brought it to his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." Now can you imagine? Just put yourself in Isaac's shoes at this very moment. What? You're Esau? And verse 33 says, "Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me and have eaten all before thou camest, and I have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." Now, I think Isaac trembled here for a couple of reasons. He realized that he'd been tricked by his son, Jacob. But maybe even he trembled because he realized that he had been found out. God was watching this deal. And what God saw was that what Isaac wanted was outside of what God had promised to Rebekah. And verse 34 says, "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with Soledi, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob?" This is Esau talking. "For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. I don't think Esau was sorry for what he had done. He was sorry for having to pay the price for what he had done. He sold his birthright. And here he's taken in by his younger brother on his birthright. And now he's deceived by his younger brother, by Jacob taking the blessing away. He's just in a bad spot. It doesn't say that he has any remorse. He's just sorry that it hadn't worked. He's on the bottom of this deal. And verse 39 says, "And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew from heaven above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Now, like we said, Esau didn't actually serve his brother, but Esau's descendants did serve the descendants of Jacob. And it says in verse 41, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Now, because of time's sake, it's 10:06. I'm going to skip some verses because I really want to, I'd like to make a point here. Rachel finds out what's happened, and she's afraid for Jacob's life. Esau's going to kill him. And she even says in verse 45, "Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" See, the custom of that time was, if a family member was murdered, then another family member would have the right of revenge. And so she said, "I'm going to lose you, Jacob, because Esau's going to kill you. And then somebody else is going to kill you. I'm going to lose both my sons in one day." So she comes up with this plan. And in verse 46, Rebekah says to her husband Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? This ain't got nothing to do with the daughters of Heth, Rebecca. She's just deceiving her husband. She's trying to get him away, to look away from what she's asked Jacob to do, which is leave. I want you to leave. And we know he left. And you know, and we know that he left for a long time, some 20 years or something like that. And what's sad about this is the tragedy that what started with the dad and the mom went to the son and then to the younger son, and this entire household who knew the plans of God but didn't want to participate in it, God's way. Not in different ways, maybe. Esau and Jacob wanted it differently. Esau and Isaac wanted it differently, but Rebekah and Jacob wanted the eventual thing to happen, but they wanted to do it on their own timetable. Both of those steps are wrong. What I've got to do as a Christian, and what you've got to do as a Christian, as a child of God, is to let God do things on His own schedule. And because of this, sin crept into this family, and there was great heartache, and there's great division. And there's no way that they could experience God's blessing because they were running ahead of God. See, God had, remember what we talked about with Abraham? God had promised this, and Abraham had nothing to do with it. Remember the contract. Abraham went to sleep, and the Bible says that the Spirit of God went between the two sacrifices. The Spirit of God fulfilled the contract without the help of Abraham. And God had promised this blessing through Isaac and through Jacob, and God was going to do that whether or not they participated. But if they participated in God's will, God would bless them. And they could have avoided the tragedy and the misery that came into their life. You see, whether you're Jacob, Esau, Dwayne, or Beverly, we cannot thwart the purposes of God. Now, what we can do is give up His blessing and His benefits because we don't get in His will. He's going to do what He's going to do, and He invites us to be a part of it. Isn't that great? He's going to... You know, all this mess in our society right now, and that's what it is. It's a mess. It's a stinking mess. God was not surprised at all of the events of the past 10, 20, 50 years as we're stepping away as a society from God. He's not surprised at all this. He's still going to make His thing happen. But in a wonderful way, Brother Albert, He gives us a chance to participate in His will. And he longs for us to do that by reading His word and find out what His will is. And in return, He blesses us and He makes us a part of what He's going to already do anyway. We sing a song around here called Trust and Obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Remember that? Trust and obey, there's really no other way for the child of God. Because when we start stepping outside of that, and when we do things our own way, and you can fill in the blanks here. I'm not going to mention any specifics. I've had so many in my life. I'm 54 years old, and I've had so many instances where I thought I could do something better than God. Now, I probably never said that, but looking back, I didn't do what He wanted me to do because I thought I had something better. And there's no better way to think that we need to trust and obey. Why? Because there is no other thing to do besides that if we want to be in His will. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for the example of this family in the sense